All right, did everybody get a handout? All right, Brother Kenny, would you start us in a word of prayer this evening, please? Amen. All right, this evening we're going to be studying angels. Lesson 21 on angels. If you want to start, please, in John chapter 1. And angels are a creation of God. John chapter 1, and then we'll look in Colossians chapter 1 next. Look with me in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? You don't call the Bible capital W-O-R-D. A lot of people do, but that's a dangerous thing. The Bible is not God. Amen? The Word of God is small W. You'll see a lot of times, and it's usually the people that mess with the book for some reason. And then they want to turn around and cover their tracks and make it look like they really respect the Bible and call it Word, capital W. But there is no such thing. The capital W Word is Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. See? He was God. Look at verse 3. All things were made by Him. Well, that would include angels. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For by Him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Therefore, angels are a creation of God, just like everything else that exists. You have God, then you have everything else. In the beginning, God created. So look in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. And we'll see what angels are. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels, what? Spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. So His angels are ministers, they're spirits. Look over in verse 13. But to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So they're God's ministers. And they minister spiritually by providing strength, by providing protection, by providing power, by providing insight and revelation. You see them doing many things in the Bible, all encompassing those areas. Now, if you look with me in Hebrews chapter 13, angels can appear as men. Are angels men? No, they are not men. But they can appear as men. See? Never as women. But they can appear as men. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You're helping somebody out, just helping a fellow out or whatever, and then not even realizing who it was you were helping out. Who was it you were helping out? Angels. When Lot has those guys come into his house, who's he entertaining? Was he aware that there were angels at the time? No. What are the other guys saying? Let these men come out unto us. They thought they were men too. See? But they appeared as men. Look back in chapter 2 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He didn't just show up as a man, which was a teaching of the Gnostics. He was just a spirit that appeared in form of a man. No, he was a man. He was born of the seed of man. See, Jesus Christ was not an angel, which made him different, because the angels, according to that, are not men. He took on not the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So you see the difference there between men and angels. Angels are not born of man's seed, but angels can appear as men, but they are only spirits. Look in Luke chapter 20. You'll notice that angels are eternal. They cannot die. Luke chapter 20. Angels were created before the fall, and God never made anything where it was purposely supposed to die, God's life. That's why out in eternity, everything, once it's restored, will live forever again. Luke chapter 20 and verse 34. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. Why? They can't die anymore. See? Equal unto what? The angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So we're on the same hierarchy then as the angels, but even more so because we are the children of God, and the angels are not. Which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. No, the angels are not children of God. We, after putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are the children of God. I was entertaining some Mormons yesterday evening at our house, and this was one of the verses that I had to remind them of. Because basically what I was doing is asking them, well, what do you have to offer me? You know, if I was to become a Mormon, what can you offer me? What do I get out of that? You know, and one of the things was, you know, you can be with your wife forever in heaven. And so I took them to those verses and I said, well, wait a minute. This right here says that you don't get married in heaven. And, well, you know, that's been interpreted incorrectly, and I ain't interpreting anything, I'm reading it. You know. But there you go. So, no. If you're looking forward to getting out of your marriage, don't worry, one day you will. Till death do us part. Amen. Now, we'll all be together if we're all saved in heaven. See? But this idea that, well, I'll be with my wife in heaven and we'll have spiritual babies, and that's just a bunch of nonsense. You won't love one person more than another. You'll have perfect love towards everyone. So how could you love a spouse more than you could love others? You understand? It's impossible in heaven. Alright? Don't even know how we got off and all that. But the idea here being that the angels, he says, neither can die anymore, but are equal unto the angels. So angels don't die angels live forever. Angels are more powerful than men. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. They are more powerful than men. Second Peter 2:11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now, the reason that I say that angels are greater in power than we are is because the Bible says angels are greater in power. It's pretty simple. There it is. Right? And look over in Psalms. Psalms 8. Another reference on that in Psalm 8. And we'll look at that more when we get into the purpose of angels as far as how powerful they are. But look in Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. See? God's got a hierarchy. He's crowned him with glory and honor. So, in the hierarchy that God has established, we are under the angels. See? And then animals are supposed to be under us, right? Supposed to be. Not anymore, but supposed to be. That's what they're doing. They're humanizing animals. You know, what I think that the other day they were playing music for the sharks to try and get them to mate. And they were playing music for the whales to try and get them to go back out in the ocean or something. And they couldn't understand why they wouldn't respond. Educated people. College-educated professors. And you know what they're doing? They're thinking that animals think like they do. Well, and there you go. That's the problem, isn't it? All right, look in Hebrews chapter 1. They are more powerful than men, but they are less powerful than God. Should be obvious. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto the angels, as he not said any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So, obviously, there's a difference there between Jesus Christ and the angels. And the angels are further on down. They're not nearly as powerful as the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 Peter, after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 21. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So they're all in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Angels have a free will. Look in 2 Peter. We're not going to look at every verse in the Bible on angels. It does cover quite a bit, but let's give you some basic understanding of angels since that it is they are very prevalent in the Bible. And a lot of confusion about them as well. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Okay? Did some of the angels sin? Did all the angels sin? So there's free will. some angels chose to sin. Some angels chose to obey God and not sin, which obviously designates that they have a free will. Look in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. An angel can choose to obey God or not. But of course there are consequences with that choice. Yes? Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Amen. So, there you see that those there are blessing the Lord are those that haven't fallen, those that have what? Obeyed. They have obeyed, they hearkened unto his voice, they did his good pleasure. Amen? But they had a choice in the matter. Now, look in Psalm 104, in verse 4, what is the purpose of angels? Psalm 104 and verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. So his angels are said to be ministers, and we already looked at that over there in Peter as well. Those angels are, over in Hebrews chapter 1, we looked at that as well, where the Bible says that they are ministering spirits. So when we think of ministering, it's not just, I'm a minister, right? I minister the Word of God, I minister comfort, I minister knowledge, understanding, help, guidance, counsel, those things as a pastor. But ministering can take on all kinds of forms and shapes, and it's basically anything you do that's assisting or aiding others is you're ministering to them. You're administering. See? If you're caring for the sick, you are ministering, see, medical help to that person. Whatever you're doing where you are assisting or aiding others, that is ministering to them. And that's what angels are called to do for us. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. You'll see here in Matthew 4 where the Lord Jesus Christ has been fasting for 40 days, tempted of the devil. And at the conclusion of that thing, God sends angels to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So they're ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ there. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? This church had an angel. What was that angel doing? Ministering to those people, assisting and aiding in what was done there at that church. Angels minister. Angels lead and direct others. Look in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So Abraham is sending out his servant, Eliezer, to find a bride for his son Isaac. And as he sends him out, he tells him that God will send his angel to do what? Lead him and direct him into where exactly he needs to go to find that bride for Isaac. If you'll look again there in verse 40, same chapter, verse 40. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So Eliezer makes it there, and it's no coincidence that he got just where he needed to get to. There was an angel there kind of leading him and directing him in that thing. Remember when that angel shows up there before Balaam, with Balaam's ass? And the ass sees the angel, but Balaam doesn't? And what's the angel trying to do? Get him to stop. And he's trying to direct him, and so he's causing that donkey to see him so that he can direct Balaam. Finally, when that doesn't work, he has to appear to him. All right, look in Numbers chapter 22, and that's the what I was just talking about. Numbers chapter 22, verse 23. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And every time he goes, the angel keeps doing that. Look at verse 27. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. He's so stinking mad, he's in such a rage, he doesn't even realize he's talking to a donkey, and the donkey's talking back. That's a wild story, isn't it? Verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And so there's an angel that's trying to direct him. Now, that stuff is going on in our lives all the time, but we don't know it. And most Christians don't believe it. But it's happened. They are ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's what it said. That's you. Okay? So you've got angels that are working with God to do things and direct and lead you in the path. It's no coincidence sometimes when you just happen to run into the right person at the right place. That ever happened to you? Okay? There's a reason for those things. God will direct those affairs. To answer someone's prayers, usually. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll see it once again, the leading and directing of angels. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And it doesn't say if he saw the angel or anything, but he heard something. But it could have just been him thinking it. You never know with those things, see? There's a lot of times you could think that you thought to do that, but it really wasn't you that thought to do it. But there was like a little voice there telling you, and then you thought it was you thinking it. Never mind. If you don't understand that, I can't help you. Verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man in Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for her worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, you see that? That angel was directed by God. He says, now look at this guy over here. Here's this black guy. You guys have just been dealing with them Jews, and I'm tired of all that. Now we're going to go a different way. Philip, here, I want you to go out to this black man, and he's interested. He's reading my words, and he's trying to figure out something, and if you'll just show him out of that book, he'll get saved. And so he directs him. He has an angel have him go right there where this guy is when he just happens to be sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Amen? That's the way that God works. And he uses his angels to lead and direct in those things. Now, look in 2 Samuel chapter 24. He also uses his angels to execute judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it says he comes back with his holy angels. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 15. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning, even to the time appointed. There died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil. He said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." Now, one angel right there took out 70,000 people. That's some power. And God sends them to execute his judgment. Look over in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Look with me in Acts chapter 12 and verse 21. "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied." See that thing? Angel just took him out, man. Boom. He was eaten up of worms. That means that angels can bring plagues. That's what we've read in both of those accounts. Both times those were plagues. Eaten of worms. I don't know what kind of worms it was. It doesn't say. Maggots or something, I don't know. Or a virus. That's all a virus is, isn't it? You can get some guy 350 pounds, he thinks he's really tough, and he really thinks he's something. You know what it would take for God to take him out? Something you couldn't see with your eyeball. Get in there and take you out from the inside out. Just like that. Amen. Deadly plague. All right. Look in 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35. We'll see it again. Executing God's judgment. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. "When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." How many angels? One. One angel took out 185,000 men. That's something. That's some power now. And when God gives them the okay to execute his judgment, they do it. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 53. Matthew 26, verse 53. "Thinkest thou," and just this is Jesus talking to Peter after he tells him to put up his sword, "thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Now, what's a legion? A legion is approximately 6,000 men, a Roman legion. Basically an army corps in Rome. So you got 6,000. How many legions did he say? 12 times 6,000 equals 72,000 angels. Now if one angel can destroy 185,000 men, 12 legions could destroy almost 13 billion men. So according to Jesus Christ, he could take everybody out on this planet anytime he wanted to, just with his angels. All right, look there in Psalm 148. They have another purpose, and that is to praise God. Psalm 148, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord." That's good. "Praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts." Amen? And so angels are there to praise God. Angels are also there as messengers. Look with me in Daniel. One specifically mentioned by name, Gabriel. whose purpose is that of a messenger. Look in Daniel chapter 8. Daniel's been praying and asking God for help, and then the angel comes to him. Look in verse 15 of Daniel 8. Came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Well, that's an angel. They appear as a man, but they're not a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. When he came, I was afraid. He fell upon my face. Now, see, you get somebody saying, you know, I saw an angel. If you knew it was an angel, you wouldn't just be sitting there, ho-hum, how you doing, buddy? Uh-uh. You may do it unawares. But if you knew it was an angel, you wouldn't be doing that. And he knows this is an angel. And so he falls flat on his face. I was afraid and fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, that may happen some now, as far as an angel giving understanding, but you have to remember, what do we have that they didn't have back then? And God's abiding Holy Spirit, our teacher. See, they, when they needed revelation, they needed that a spiritual understanding, and angels sometimes will come to give them that understanding. That's what he's doing here with Daniel. So this is a specific instance for a specific purpose, and that's to give that revelation. Verse 18, now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. Just by touching. That's some power. Amen. But he's there as a messenger to bring a message to Daniel. Look over in chapter 9, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And so people see that and they say, well, angels must have wings, because he's flying. No, he doesn't need any wings to fly. Did Jesus Christ go up and ascend up into the clouds, into the third heaven? Did he have wings? No. With the power of God, you don't need wings, you just move. And that's exactly what he's doing here. Verse 22, and he did what? He informed me. And talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And he's going to give him the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. Right here. See? And to this day we call that Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. Because of an angel that came and brought him that message. For what purpose? To give unto us. So that it could be put in Scripture so that we could have it. Look in Luke chapter 1. The nativity story in Luke 1. Beginning in verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. See, you see an angel, that's what's going to happen. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this, for I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So he's a messenger of God sent to bring this message to John the Baptist's father. Look with me in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What's that? That's a message from an angel given to us so that we could have those scriptures today. Amen. A revelation of angels. All right. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Angels are personal ministers. We've looked at this some already. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Look in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. In verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels will always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's a weird verse, isn't it? Well, Jesus Christ said it, I believe him. So what does that mean? That means that every kid has an angel. Yeah. And you have an angel until you get old enough probably to the point where you reject the angel. And then when you get saved, you get the angel back. Aren't they heirs? Aren't they ministers to the heirs of salvation? Okay. Well, if you're lost, are you an heir of salvation? Then they're not your ministers. Do little children go to heaven? They're heirs of salvation, right? So there comes a point in your life where you're no longer an heir of salvation. You got to get saved. Okay. Now, young kids that get saved, maybe they'd never go without an angel. I don't know how that works. There'll be a lot of interesting things we find out in heaven. You know what? A lot of interesting things. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and we'll just plug right on through this real quick. Then we can take a break and just open it up for questions. How's that? Okay. Y'all awake. We're okay with that? Say about 10 minutes. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 25. We'll look what the Bible has to say about the fallen angels. Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Who's coming with Jesus Christ? All the holy angels. So there's obviously some angels that aren't holy. See? Look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So you have some angels coming back with Jesus Christ. You have other angels after he comes back that are down in everlasting fire because they've been judged. We'll look at that a little bit more in a minute. Look in Psalms 78. Psalm 78. beginning in verse 43. Psalm 78 and verse 43. How he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. He had turned their rivers into blood, their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. Of course, this is all talking about Moses and the deal with Pharaoh. Verse 46, he gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacle of Ham. Now, pretty obvious there that there's some evil angels. And God used them for a purpose, to destroy those that needed to be destroyed there in Egypt. Look in Isaiah 14. Once you find Isaiah 14, find Revelation chapter 1. Just one verse quickly, just so that we can see what we're talking about here. I'm sure most of you have seen this before, but just to verify it, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. These seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Okay? So, stars in the Bible are symbolic of angels. Okay, Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, there weren't any stars yet. Creation hadn't taken place yet there, the rest of Genesis 1. What you got going on here is, yeah, the angels and Satan putting his throne above them. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the signs of the north. Well, it wasn't people. There weren't any people made yet when the devil fell. See? So, yeah, it's a power struggle there with them angels is exactly what is going on. Amen? All right, look in verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, does God have angels? So what did the devil want? So he was out to get some angels so that he could be like God. Amen? All right, look in Jude. Right before Revelation, the book of Jude. Obviously, some angels have already fallen and been judged. Verse 6. And not a final judgment, but they're kept down. Verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So, their first estate was obviously heaven. And they left heaven and came down to the earth. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Until when? The judgment of the great day. So there's coming a judgment, a time when those angels will be judged. But we see that those angels have fallen. Those are not holy angels. Amen? Those are the angels that Jesus warned there in Matthew 25. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. All right, Revelation chapter 12. Notice we see the devil's angels here, Revelation 12 and verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, there's Leviathan, that's Satan, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. What are stars? And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Why do you think all these people are showing up demon-possessed and all these wicked spirits and everything when Jesus shows up? He's told you why. The devil took his tail and took a third of them angels and sent them down to the earth to do his dirty work, to try and prevent that promised seed from showing up. Amen. Of course, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it, thank God. And verse 5 tells you that. Right? So, but you see the idea there of the devil's angels. Look at verse 7. There was war in heaven. This is what's getting ready to take place or is taking place. I don't understand all that. This could be a war that's been lasting for 2,000 years. I don't know. Or it could just take 5 seconds. I don't know. Bible doesn't say. It just says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. It's not the third heaven. It's the second heaven. And they're cast out. See? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So when he comes as the beast, the great tribulation, he ain't coming by himself. There's a lot of angels coming down with him. So all that demon-possessed stuff and everything that you read about is going to be the same way in the tribulation. It's the same way again. Because it's a giant spiritual battle taking place. They lose the turf up there, so now they come down to fight the turf down here. And of course, when Jesus Christ comes back with us and the angels, that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of that. All right, look in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Y'all got it? 2 Peter chapter 2, look in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, we had looked at that before, but it's obvious here that they're reserved until a time when they will be judged. And they obviously have sinned and done wrong. These are not holy angels. They are fallen angels. Look in Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4 and verse 18. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. You've done foolishly. See? So, they're not all perfect angels. Some have obviously fallen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How is all this going to end? It's going to end with all those fallen angels being judged. The rest of them, of course, continuing as they were, serving God for forever and ever. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, it's just the Bible. It's just the Word of God. No big deal if we don't obey that. After all, we have liberty. We're saved. Do you know? I know I'm sarcastic, but I have to be with this stuff. See, it's just so foolish. Verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Well, no, a lot of Christians don't know that, as a matter of fact. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not, no, most of them don't, that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Look in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. You want to explain that? Huh? Wait on me. What's the power it's talking about? Now, read the context. It's hair. Yeah. It's having her hair, her head covered. What's that? A sign of the husband's authority. Because of the angels? Mm-hmm. So there's something there where those angels rebelled. See? And so God says what that woman needs to do is make sure that her hair is longer than the man's so that there's a difference, an obvious difference that you can see between a man and a woman. So that woman remembers her place. Otherwise, she might not be happy with her place and seek to rebel. Is that what the angels did? See? They weren't happy with their state. They weren't happy with God, what God had given them to do. And so they decided to rebel. And so the warning there is a woman having her head covered, having that long hair, is a demonstration of her subjection and submission to her husband. She's stating, I'm not a rebel. I don't desire to be a man. I'm content with my status as a woman. Amen. Right. Because of the angels. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, Rome, they just took a bowl, basically, and cut around the head, you know. Yeah. The only men that had long hair were Jews. And it was for a reason. They were to be different from everybody. They were supposed to be that kind of a strange people on the earth. So God had designated them to have longer hair. That's why Christ had bushy hair, the Bible says. And it wasn't long down. It was, you know, but he had bushy hair, you know. Jesus Christ probably had hair about as long as Sheila's. Okay. But that's because they were a reproach. You understand? Those Jews, they were a reproach. They were different than everybody else. Most men didn't do that. Now, look in Revelation. How long is long? I don't know. Revelation chapter 9. There's some demonic locusts that come out of the bottomless pit of the earth. Verse 7. Revelation 9:7. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. Now, what do you picture there? God will answer your own question for you if you'll let him. I have no idea. It doesn't say in the Bible. So I could guess. You know, just be a guess. Right. Yeah, and that's and unfortunately, that's it. You know, you see these movies that they make, these quote Bible movies. They're not very biblical, most of them, but you know, you watch those movies, you see pictures and Bibles and Bible story books and those kind of things, and the flannel graph, and you know, we're visual people, we need something to see, but a lot of times you can picture the wrong thing. But I tell people a good thing to do sometimes is get you a picture of Jesus Christ that's nothing like you've ever seen before. Just a guy kind of a you know, black bushy hair, the Bible says he had dove's eyes, but not particularly good looking or anything, just kind of a plain faced fella. Rough, big shoulders, calloused hands, and you'll get a picture different than anything you've seen in any movie. And then picture that when you're reading through the Gospels. You'll see how much comes out that you've never noticed before. Because what the media and all of them have done is they've effeminized Christ. And so when you read through those things, you're not reading it the way that really what was going on there and what happened. But if you'll read it that way, I'll tell you what, God will show you some things in that book that you just won't pick up because of that influence. And we've all been influenced by it. There's no doubt about it. It's not your fault. It's just so. Oh, yeah, right. Whenever you see him, he's always, how is that? Yeah, that ain't it. Yeah, picture him with a deep voice, very stern. Not mean, but just a commanding, stern. He was a preacher. See? Yeah, he was a carpenter. See, and then was hanging around with them guys, them fishermen. So, you know, you get that picture. You get a little different picture than, you know, what Hollywood is presented. Hollywood got themselves in it. Sure, that's all he was seeing the whole time he was growing up. He knew what he was there for. He was reminded of it daily. Isn't that something? Yeah, amen. We need to remind ourselves of it daily. Hmm? As far as I know. It looks like there's at least two separate falls that I can see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's an initial rebellion that causes Satan's fall. And then it looks like that third of the angels that he draws down with him is a separate fall of some more angels. Mm-hmm. Because every angel has a free will and can choose to obey or disobey, just as we do. Amen. And then they reap the punishment or the rewards of their obedience or disobedience. Amen. Once we get to heaven, do we still have the same will? Yeah, we have the same will, but we have the mind of Christ. No. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. That's what makes us, because we're the children of God and the angels aren't. Angels are just a created being. Angels can't love. See? They don't have those emotions like we do. That's why God made us. He had angels. He had company. And they can obey or disobey him. But they weren't made with the ability to have those emotions. And they're more like robots. I mean, they're ministering spirits, so they don't have those emotions as God has, that he put in man to be in his image. See, when we're made in the image of God, that means in every way. See, God has emotions. He gave us those emotions, feelings, you know, those kind of things. So that's why we can love God. And when we finally see Him, we will love Him. We'll love Him then. We should love Him now, but compared to the love we'll have for Him then, we'll realize all that He's done for us. There'll be no desire to ever fall. We won't have sinful flesh anymore. That's the only reason we sin now. We don't want to now, the Bible says. The things that I would, I do not. What I would not, that I do. See? Because it's only the flesh right now that wants to do those things anyways. It's not you. The new man that's in there always wants to do right. Amen? And that's just the case. If you're saved, the new man in you always wants to serve God and please Him and do right. Always. And that old man is just stinking, getting in the way. Yeah, amen, brother. That's it.
Yeah. Turned back and saw the angel and his four sons. Is that talking about the angel's son?
No, Ornan's four sons. Ornan's the one that owned that threshing floor there. That's going to be the place of the temple. See, that's what's going on there. Mm-hmm. That's why David buys it. That Temple Mount, you know, where the Muslims saying they have a right to? David bought it. When did the Muslims buy it? They stole it. They didn't buy it. You've got a grant right here where it shows you who purchased that land. There's no doubt about it. See? God had that done on purpose. And David paid with his own money and bought it. The king of Israel bought that area. Because that will be the temple. Right there. It's been purchased.
That's one of the ladies that was in that group that I'm working in. And one of the managers, this was a man, and he started to go into this door that you have to swipe your badges to be able to get into. So she was standing in front of the door, so he knew that she was waiting to go into the HR department. So he asked her, he said, I can swipe for you and you can go in. And she said, no. She wouldn't let him swipe or nothing. So when the person in HR came and opened the door and she went in there and reported that manager, said that he was stalking her and whatever he said, and stalking her.
Listen, you got to be half nuts to become a Muslim in the first place. Now, I can understand in some of these countries we don't have a choice. But in America, if you decide, you know what, I think I want to be a Muslim, you're already demonstrating you're a kook. Really. You're just beyond, you know, you can't think. So, who would purposely put themselves under that junk? You know, so, it just, you know, you're talking about people that they ain't all there. And then you start messing with that stuff and you get even worse. You become very mean and vengeful and typical Muslim spirit. Yeah. Oh, really? Watch me. I don't care what they say. You're not supposed to talk to me. Then quit talking to me. Now let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me give you some joy. Because that's the one thing they don't have. They ain't even close to it. Amen? Yeah. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And did anybody bring food? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Not that I want any, but I was thinking the others here might. Well, amen. Henry, we ask the Lord to bless the food and the fellowship, please.
Hey, Heavenly Father, I thank you.